I suppose that flouting hateful pictures and commentaries on the walls at the Tate, and a cosmopolitan, read Jewish, personality in the beautiful catalog was a rash act. In today's parlance, this was like locking onto the enemy's radar, thus inviting retaliatory blows. I knew beforehand that I would get a bad press because old and new enemies, the living dead, were assembled, eager to strike. But my flagrant exhibition was a good blast, and among my reactionary enemy lurked discernible, if small, evil, which the living dead will try to deny. I believe that the pictures on the wall of the Tate were not the real objectives. Honest criticism was almost absent. A lot of people know that. The frenzy was brought to its furious climaxes in London's yellow press by hatred of my transgressive personality and its works. Hatred to my left, hatred on my right, not exactly unknown in cosmopolitan Jewish conflict and the thuggery it attracts. Anyone who watched the unfolding drama or melodrama knows that war is not the wrong word. I accuse my London enemies of xenophobia. Aside from being the only prominent Jew in painting to dare to wear Jewishness on my sleeve and in my pictures, I was also the only prominent, and to them, insufferably overprominent American in London's art world. It has been objected by the living dead that I am deranged because Auerbach, Freud, Kossoff, and Caro are so well treated in London. The four Jewish artists above are not only among the very best alive, they are also easier to like than I am, according to the complex, political, aesthetic, personal rules of the art game followed by the living dead. And I know I'm difficult, paranoid, an outsider, foreigner, and dissident polemicist. The evening before Max and I left London for California, when Auerbach and Freud brought Indian food to 62 Elm Park Road for a last supper, I knew that in those great painters, I was leaving behind forever the best of England.